Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 67.
Sure, that feel good? Just like old times. What's it feel like to be a dying man? You're a dead man, John? Bullshit.
Have any special skills?
Oh, yes. I do. I do voices.
What do you mean, you do voices?
Well, I do voices.
Yes!
We've come to this planet looking for intelligent life. Oops, we made a mistake.
We're happy to be in America. Don't ask for a green card.
I want you in the worst way.
Well, this is certainly a rough meeting, and it's not going very well for me, I'll tell you that. Hey, boss, give it a chance. She's going to loosen up any moment.
Look at me right now, Moneypenny. I want to undo that bow and get to know you.
I'm crazy to make a deal with you!
Nancy and I are still looking for the other half of my head.
Idiot! You're doing it! I'm sitting on a gold mine!
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
Figaro!
I do a great impression of a hot dog.
Mr. Hiller, do you consider yourself humorous?
I used to.
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Sazilag. Along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Nicole Williams.
Hello.
Hi. And for this episode, we are joined by the lovely and talented and not yelly, Ms. Annelle Strauss.
Hello.
Ms. Not yelly. We continue on our discussion with childhood favorites with a look at Commando and Mrs. Doubtfire. But before doing that, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. Okay, let's get into this shit. First of all, I have a question. I feel like we need sound effects. I just thought of that.
Okay, well, I'll put you in charge of that.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do them for my mouth anyway. So what are you drinking?
Well, actually, I'll let Annelle explain it because she's the one who made it. So what are we drinking?
We're having a Svedka Dirty Martini.
Yeah.
Ooh, just straight up?
Yeah.
Just straight up. We already ate the olives because I figured that wasn't going to be so good for podcasting.
That won't sound all so right. Fancy.
Touche.
Yeah, what are you having? You having God's beer?
No, I am having, well, earlier I had a mixture of Mucinex and some Sudafed.
Nice.
And that's been kicking in here a little bit, so there we are.
So that's all you're having? You're not having any booze?
I don't think that's a good idea at this point.
Wait a minute. So on a work night.
Yes.
With cough medicine, you're not mixing alcohol with it. That's what you tell me?
I know.
Jeez.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
I always worry like when I take cough medicine on the weekends that I'm going to wake up and it's going to be 11 o'clock.
Well, I used to like to do the thing where I would wake up and it'd be like 7 at night and I'd have to be at work at 7 in the morning.
Oh.
And I'd be in a real panic.
Yes!
That's usually my move.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, no. Shit. All right, Cruiser, well, let's go ahead and kick off our discussion. We're going to start off with 1985's film. It is my selection, clearly.
Yeah.
It is the Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle, and it is Commando.
They hunted him down.
You know, Colonel, we went to a lot of trouble to find you.
They murdered his friends. And they took the only thing he would kill for.
If he wants your kid back, then you gotta cooperate. Right?
Wrong.
Now, somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
Do you think that he is going to give us any problems?
You'll do exactly as he's told.
Hasta luego, fellas.
You're a funny guy, Sally. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
Are you going to tell me what's going on or what?
No. Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired. What are you doing?
Helping you get her back.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what Major did.
I lied.
If it's a mission no man can survive, he's the man for the job. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Commando.
Let's party.
A retired special agent named John Matrix led an elite unit and has left the armed forces to live in a secluded mountain home with his daughter Jenny, weirdo. But now he's forced out of retirement when his daughter is kidnapped by a band of thugs intent on revenge. Unbeknownst to Matrix, the members of his former unit are being killed one by one. Even though Matrix's friend General Franklin Kirby gives Matrix armed guards, attackers manage to kidnap Matrix and Jenny. Matrix learns that Bennett, a former member of his unit, who was presumed dead, has kidnapped him to try to force him to do a political assassination for a man called Arius, a warlord formerly bested by Matrix, who wishes to lead a military coup in his home country. Since Arius will have Jenny killed if Matrix refuses, he reluctantly accepts the demand.
I think my favorite part of you reading that was hearing you say a former member of his unit.
And I was going to say, that's cough syrup, everyone, not alcohol.
So this is my pick. You know, I used to, a little history for me on this film. My parents owned a restaurant in North Platte. And so, next to their restaurant was a pawn shop. And so what I would do as a kid, we didn't do daycare. So I would go over to the pawn shop, pop in Commando and the VHS and sit there and watch it over and over and over, along with Rocky III and a couple other films that we may or may not get to in this discussion. So I've seen this a lot. I haven't seen it probably in maybe 10, 15 years though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's been a long time. And I always, you know, I remember it as the film with Arnie in the tree and, the girl shooting the gun back, the bazooka backwards.
Right.
Or the rocket launcher, I guess it is. So that's what I remember about this film, and that's sort of my quick history with it. Cruz, this was a first watch for you, correct?
Yeah.
And what did you make of this 80s classic?
I think I need to talk to your mother.
What do you mean?
We were watching this last night, and the first time they said fuck, I was like, oh! And Brad's like, he watched when he was a little kid. And they say motherfucker in this. And they say a lot of naughty words.
Yeah.
How old were you when the first time you watched this?
Well, I mean, it came in 85, so it probably came out on VHS either late 85 or 86. So I was probably
20.
7 or 8, something like that.
See what I did there? I said you were.
Yeah. I like that.
Because, when I was little, my parents wouldn't let me watch anything fun.
Yeah, well. I just told you, it wasn't my parents, I was over at the pawn shop.
Yeah, but sitting himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, but wouldn't your mom be like, what are you watching over there? Did you just lie to her? Did you lie to your mom? Asshole.
Probably not, I don't think I'm rebellious enough to have done that. I don't know, I'm watching this movie about shooting people, and she'd be like, alright, fine, let's go.
That, I mean, it says a lot of naughty things, and there are just... I mean, I wouldn't say it's really graphic because, the slitting throats and the fake shooting is, really borderline ridiculous, but, so anyway, yes, we watched it last night, and that was the first time I saw it.
Yeah. And Al, how about you?
I got a big kick out of this one.
You did?
We laughed a lot during it.
We did, did laugh a lot.
It was, really fun, but we were also Saturday day drinking, so.
Oh, yeah.
It was, extra fun.
It, skewed the results of the view.
Sure, yeah.
And Anna was in the other room. It was not, she was not involved in the watching.
Oh, that's true, yeah. She did walk in at a certain point,
yeah,
though.
She did walk in. Oh,
we'll
man.
We'll get to that point
in
just a little bit.
All right.
Not now? Okay.
Not yet.
Oh, no, save it.
So I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. I think that the credit sequences at the beginning might be one of my favorite credit sequences ever. It's got Arnie... And it's got the 80s music.
Totally.
And it's got him with Alyssa Milano feeding the deer.
Oh, man. The montage of father-daughter shit.
Yes.
Is amazing.
Shorts with the shoes and the socks.
Oh, yeah. It's where he's wearing what I've been told as the Randall Strauss outfit.
Yeah, my dad was a big bodybuilder like him and wore the same outfit.
Awesome. That's awesome.
So that's a good look. It really brought her back. You know, it made her identify with maybe, oh, maybe I'm Alyssa Milano's character.
So he never carried me around like that, so I got a little bit jealous.
Yeah, it's like, dang.
Shit, Dad.
She did say at one point, it was like, well, what, like, how sweet would that be just to be able to jump onto Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
And just have him, like, carry her around for no reason.
That would be cool, I guess.
What do you think about that, Cruz? What if Arnold threw you around, as she just said?
Like, if you're talking dirty, that's disgusting. Yeah. But, like, if we were doing gymnastics, that'd be okay.
You'd be all right with it.
Yeah, that'd be fine. I mean, he's, like, give you, like, a little more oomph, but, like, anything sexy related with Arnold Schwarzenegger, no thank you. Yeah, no,
oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
What do you mean that's interesting? Are you attracted to him? Do you think he's an attractive guy?
I'll agree to disagree on your analysis of him.
Bullshit.
Okay, so I like how at the beginning of the movie we have this, this helicopter come in, and it's
almost hits the house.
It's almost hits the house, and it's General Kirby, which Anel made a nice point about, where he's got this huge fucking name tag on for some reason, and it looks like a "Hello, my name is General Kirby."
Like a server. At an 80s restaurant, the gold name tag.
It's almost like he's at like a Hard Rock Cafe and he's like, oh, I'm General Kirby. And they're like, okay, guy, just give me my fucking burger.
Oh my God.
You know, it's almost like that.
It's almost like they didn't consult anyone that had to do with the military before making this movie.
Yeah, because exactly. he had this long sweater with like this iron on name tag on it. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So his house gets attacked, you know, and he's got these two guys that are supposed to be protecting him and his daughter.
They're basically mannequins, cause like, that's all the good they did.
They were not
that was
really.
One line. Are you okay? I can make it.
I can make it. Like, congratulations, you fucking stood there and got shot. Like,
well, no, he didn't just stand there because then he got to fall onto Arnie.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's slipped. Right. He opens the door.
So glad they put that part in.
He did like the Goonies dead guy fall on Chunk, where he just kind of like rolled onto him, you know?
Yeah, Brad. Well, Brad watched this with me. And when he got into the truck, he's like, "He is not. No, he is not going to push that down the hill." Mm-mm. But then he did. He did push it down the hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so my question to you, Cruz, is. To both of you, is why would you leave the kid?
What a dumbass!
Yeah. I'm gonna go get my gun. Stay here. Great idea.
We've got this super secret hiding spot called Under the Bed.
And as soon as she got under there, I'm like, you're going to be taken. Yeah. They're going to take you. Because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I think Taken copied this movie.
Absolutely it did, yeah.
By Frank, basically.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is looking up the IMDb trivia of this, they were going to do a sequel to this, right?
Yep.
And they were going to have John McTiernan be the director.
Yes.
And Arnie wasn't interested in doing it, and so they changed the location, and they changed the story a little bit, and it ended up becoming Die Hard.
Shut the front door.
True story.
That doesn't make... They changed it a little bit?
Well... You know what I mean? Like, they went, oh, we'll just rewrite the script a little bit, and then it's completely different.
And then put in my dad.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, my dad looks just like Bruce Willis.
That's true.
A little bit.
You know, I never thought of that. He does look like Bruce Willis.
I know. Why do you think my mom likes Die Hard so much?
My mom can't stand any of the Arnold stuff, so that's why they got divorced.
Oh, there you go.
Oh man, we're digging deep today, guys.
That's right. It's share time. Yeah, on Dr. Playing Phil. Label podcast.
To be honest, I didn't realize that his last name was Matrix. I just thought that was like a cool nickname he had given himself, and then the black girl was like, "I'm gonna go ahead and call you that too." So that's a piece of knowledge I just learned.
Yeah, I can't reconcile that with the film, The Matrix.
Yeah, I don't understand. No, I've never heard anyone's last name be Matrix, ever.
Never. No.
That doesn't make any sense. That's like, how ridiculous. My name is John Gigabyte, I'm here to save you. Okay.
That's true. Like, it would be more realistic if his last name was Commando. My name is John Commando.
Okay. Yeah, like, what was that movie? Where they call him, it was like, with the Sylvester Stallone. God, I'm losing
Rocky.
It wasn't Rocky, it was the other
Rambo.
One. Rambo, where they call him Rambo. Oh, and
John Rambo, yeah.
And it's so funny because, like, everyone calls, like, sarcastically calls people Rambo. So when they did the movie, it made me laugh.
So if you were walking around, you're going to start calling people Matrix and they're not going to get it?
No. Yeah, I do a lot of things people don't get, so it wouldn't really...
be like, oh, good one, carrying that log, Matrix.
See, people are not...
cutting that wood like a boss, Matrix.
Way to go, Matrix, wearing the biggest unbuttoned piece of shirt I've ever seen in my life.
Way to leave your child and let her get stolen, Matrix.
That'd be good, yeah. So yes, I do want to say that, you know, for as cheesy as and silly as the film is, that stunt work with the truck is pretty freaking impressive.
Yeah, the action sequences in the whole movie were pretty legit as far as being 1985. Like, sometimes I'll watch, like, mostly in the Bond movies, no offense, but I would watch the action sequence and be like, oh, great, they're fighting. But, like, these were, like, legit action sequences that I actually followed. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so in my notes here, I had written that, you know, I couldn't remember the exact timeline. When I wrote this down, but I was like, it's kind of like Rambo meets Predator. But then I realized that Predator came out, I think, 2 years after this.
Oh.
And so that's why, you know, the, what was his name? Do you remember the black man that is his partner in Predator, but he's one of the bad guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
And Nell kept talking about how he was such a big guy and he was such a goofy-looking dude.
We looked it up and he's like 6'5".
Yeah.
Shit!
It's the guy that's like, I'm gonna have me some fun in The Predator.
Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about, where they're like...
Oh, it's Bill Duke is his name.
Yeah.
But I love watching him on screen because he seems like he's just a take-no-shit kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Right. They're probably like, these are your lines. He's like, yeah, they're not my lines. I make my own lines, thanks.
I make up whatever I want to make up, guy. So, one of the other things that I really liked was, you know, they trust that Arnold is just going to go ahead and go with this little accountant-looking dude. The little...
pervert.
Smarmy guy. Yeah, the pervert.
Nasty.
And they're going to go with that guy and the Afro kidnapper, as I described him.
Yes.
And so he's just going to go with them and it'll be fine. Like, nothing's going to happen to either one of those guys. And so I thought that was pretty funny where he's, you know, he's in the plane and he's doing this. You know, he's like figuring out a way to get out of the plane. And all of that seems fairly realistic enough, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And then he gets onto the landing gear and it starts to go up. And Anel's like, oh, no. Like, oh, he needs to get out. And so he jumps into the swamp, and it's the worst, like, match cut I've ever seen, to where he jumps out, and then it's like, oh, hey, Arnie, jump 5 feet into this pond.
Off of this ladder into the big weeds. Yeah, Brad yelled bullshit while that was going on.
Oh, that part did not look good. So that was not good. I do think it's funny that they still try to make Arnold seem like not only a muscular guy, but also like a very tall man.
Yeah, just like he is crazy huge and like just a machine killer.
Well, and they make it to where he can't sit in the front seat in the car.
Oh, see, and I didn't understand why he ripped the seat out in the first place. Cause like that seems super uncomfortable.
It's almost like a Hightower in from Police Academy where he's too big and so he can't fit in there.
Bullshit, he could have fit just fine in that seat.
Yeah, and so poor Cindy by Ray Don Chong is her name. Yes, Cindy. And so she, you know, gets her front seat ripped out for no apparent reason, really.
Yeah.
She kind of gets the shaft. Like, she doesn't really have anything, you know, she just kind of stumbles upon this and she just kind of gets swept up in it. And there's nothing really... She doesn't benefit really at all.
Right.
I guess they maybe like fall in love or whatever, but.
But it's like, that's weird. And are people not wondering where she is or? I guess it's not that long of a time frame, but like, she just like takes off and her car is missing. Like, there's probably like that's what sequel was going to be, is that like people were looking for her and they found her crashed car and thought she was dead and there's this whole big thing.
Maybe she was going to come back and she was going to be the new commando.
No, she's a
pussy. Be all badass.
going to be the new commander. She can't even shoot a rocket launcher. Are you serious?
She liked being the hero in the end.
Yeah, she is a fan of heroic side. Yeah, what do you think about
dumb shit the whole time too? So
what do you think about Dan Hedaya being the bad guy, being
worst Spanish or Mexican or whatever that accent was trying to be? Was like it made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be someone's angry father in America in a movie. That's what his job is.
That's true. He
boss.
And he was in, wasn't he in, Clueless? Or not?
Yeah, he was the dad.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, I'm looking at his IMDb, I don't see it in here.
His role is teetering on exasperation in an American accent, and this was so hilarious to watch him do this.
Well, and he doesn't look like he's a Latino man at all.
No. No.
So that was ridiculous. Jeez.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know, but
Antonio Banderas, he was not that old in this. Actually, he was probably around.
Oh, there he is in Clueless. Jeez, yeah. Clueless was in 95? Holy shit. That was a long time ago.
It was a good movie.
It was a great movie.
Yes.
So that covers Dan Hedaya. I want to talk about Vernon Wells, who's not the baseball player, but he is the...
Oh, yeah, Brad was super disappointed, by the way.
I'm sure he was.
Vernon Wells is in this? I was like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, so
he had the tackiest clothes.
He plays Bennett.
That just made me mad.
And his clothes, his chainmail clothes are too tight, and he is overweight, and you're like, how is this man going to even stand up to Arnold at all?
Right. Like the biker gloves.
Oh yeah, the biker gloves are
key.
Too
many things going on.
He did. He had
too many styles.
Yeah, we have this discussion with the little one. You've got too many accessories. Just pick an accessory. Go with that one.
Roll with it, and everything else needs to work around that.
That's right. Having 7 accessories is not good.
Well, I'm just gonna launch into this because like while I was watching this, I was thinking if they do a remake, which it's about time because like Footloose was like 82, right?
Yep.
So they're gonna do the remake of this with the cast of This Is the End.
So cast of This Is the End, all right, with Seth Rogen and those guys.
Yeah, so Bennett would obviously be Danny McBride.
Yes,
no question.
He looks like him. That's
kind of, and that's what made me think of it. And then like Franco could be Dan Hedaya.
Yes.
And then the black guy could obviously be. What's his name?
Oh, Craig Robinson from The Office.
Yeah, so I could definitely do a relaunch of this.
Well, who would be Arnold then? It's not going
to
be...
Well, it would have to be Jason Statham. Like, they don't have anybody that could do that.
They just have to get, a bodysuit.
What if they get Tom Hardy to do it? Tom Hardy's good in everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's good in everything.
Tom Hardy.
I have a couple things he'd be good in.
Mm-hmm.
I like
right
how
there with you.
I like how it's a couple. Not one.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to opt it.
Yeah, it's like
we don't need to listen.
Wow, I don't want to get any further into that.
But yeah, so I thought that because right when I saw that guy, he kind of reminded me of Danny McBride, and so the whole time the characters would pop up, I would say somebody's name out of that movie, and Brad is like, "I get it, Rachel, I get it. It would be funny.
I get this joke that you're running into the ground. I understand now." Like, no, but that was clever. I thought of it. It's good.
I thought of it. I'm writing it down. I'm going to say it on the show. So,
sick one, Brad. Sorry. Yeah, so my next note was Big Guy in Little Cars. We already mentioned that. I do like the Speedo that Arnie's wearing later.
Come on. How does he have costume changes?
Like... Was
over here
that?
Just shaking her head and this is
why
ridiculous.
Why did they have to have that scene of him get out and canoe? Just do it in some pants.
Because you know, I don't know who their audience, they thought their audience was going to be in this movie, but it was obviously people like Eric, who are 8-year-old boys.
Want to grow up to be big, strong men and speedo.
Which is, I get it, and so that's fine, showing the muscles, but yeah, the speedo part, I had no idea who that was for. Because it's not 20-year-old women are going to be watching this movie.
It's for the moms of the 8-year-old boys.
Okay, honey, I'll let you watch it. And then she's like, oh, yeah.
Tell me when that
part comes. Watch Commando again if you want.
Drowning Toddlers, right, Cruz?
Oh, my God. Oh, I get it now. You could drown a toddler in my panties.
That's a phrase we use a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
We've been it's using, really funny.
Yeah, that's a Rachel Cruz-ism, and we've been using it a lot over here.
Oh, well, I stole it from Archer, I'm pretty sure, but...
Yeah, well, I haven't seen that show very often, so...
So you get credit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. But when you said initially drowning toddlers, it took me a second to realize you weren't talking about literally drowning toddlers, so... And here we are.
Yeah. So I do think that the part that is forever branded in my mind is Arnie with the eye black all over his forearms.
Where did he get all of that?
For no apparent reason.
The worst camo ever.
Is that where he got the random paint?
Well, yeah, he got it when he got all the rifles and stuff.
Okay.
And see, what I think is key is he's like, oh yeah, you think Rambo's badass? Look at this. I can also hide in bushes.
Wrong, you can't, because Rambo did the ultimate bush hide, and no one will ever, ever beat that. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life, so nice try.
I like how the legend of two movies is going to live on forever. It's Rambo in the bush, and how terrible you think Old Boy is.
Me and everyone else in America and probably Japan.
Still haven't seen it, so yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
I'm very anxious to have her watch it.
It's the worst thing you'll ever see.
I'll have to call you as soon as I watch it.
Yeah,
be in tears.
It's the deciding vote.
It's
the deciding vote, I'm telling you.
It's the dumbest fucking...
So, one of the... my last note that I have written down about this wonderful, wonderful film is that this may possibly be the worst final battle sequence I've ever seen.
There is no way that pipe would hold up in that boiler.
Oh, yeah.
So
a chance in hell.
We have Arnie and we have Bennett, and they are sort of like in molasses fighting each other, like very slow-mo, very like, hey, bro, I'm going to go left, so you go right.
Why don't you put the gun away and fight me with this knife? Don't you want to hear how it tears away my internal organs?
That was my Arnold impression.
That was really not very good.
No, I'm not good at Austin. I don't know what you want from me. If he was Cockney, it would be solid.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Or Borat.
Or
Borat. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're coming here with the knife and you get me in the head.
That's the sequel they should have made.
Yeah. I just want your tears, Gypsy.
Oh, just paint-covered gypsies.
That would be good. So I do think that fight is just, you know, because like you mentioned, they have some fairly well put together choreography with their fights, but it feels like Vernon Wells is so incapable of moving around. Like he just seems so still.
Right.
And Arnie's stiff too, because, you know, if you have all those muscles, you can't be super flexible.
Sure.
So he's also really stiff. It's not exactly, you know,
Kung Fu style. Yeah.
You know, martial arts. Yeah, there's not a lot of martial arts. Although
there was some kicking.
Yeah, there was some kicking. And according to the IMDb, which I think this part is completely BS, is on their trivia, they said that Arnie had to go through a bunch of martial arts training for this film, and that he would be a second degree black belt if he had gone through the actual classes, is what the person that trained him said. And I think that's complete BS.
So actor training?
Yeah.
Real training?
You mean the yes man who he paid to train him to do karate?
I guess.
I could be a black belt. Write that down.
Put that on my resume. I'm going to be governor someday. Okay, Arnold. All right.
So in preface to this fight scene, he takes out an entire compound.
Yes, he does.
By the way. And then can't fight this fatty fad in the fake armor.
Right? He's in a shed with nothing and... kills 10
people. Oh, yeah, that shed sequence was beast. I like that a lot.
It's like chopping heads off with...
Yeah! Oh, but the guy... My favorite is the guy that opens the door and just holds his arm out and sits there for about 10 seconds and waits for it to get lopped off.
He's like, hey, here's my Arnold. Oh, no!
Oh, I didn't even see that coming!
You're like, yeah, oh, 80s.
That was another Black Knight sort of thing, I thought.
Your arm's off. No, does it?
It's but a scratch.
It's but a scratch. But like he kills all those people. He secretly cracks someone's neck in an airplane and he can't handle Danny McBride in a fucking warehouse.
Fatty in his biker gloves.
Yeah, but but after he does finally finish him off, what does he say to him, Manel?
Let off some steam.
Yeah, it was the pipe. through the boiler, through the guy, and he tells him, let off some steam.
Let off some steam.
So good. I think I clapped. I was so
happy. She was very excited about it. Like, that could have been booze fueled, but she was very excited.
It was good. I loved the one-liners. Definitely made the whole
That's
movie.
That's why we need to watch Predator. She needs to watch Predator so she can stick around.
Stick around is
I used
probably
to watch those with my Arnold dad.
Oh, that's right. That's true. Well, you need to watch them with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we have anything else about Commando before we move on? This is really I don't know that it, you know, I think that I intellectually knew that it wasn't going to be the greatest film because it's a mid-80s Arnold movie.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, okay, I know what it is. But I think for what it was trying to be, it was more successful than it wasn't, I guess.
Yeah. So I actually enjoyed it. I did the same thing. I went in, you know, knowing what was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was going to get into. And so I actually enjoyed it.
What about you, Strauss?
Yeah, I liked it too. I really had no idea, but when you said like the time frame and Arnold, I kind of got an idea, but it was fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to a pick that is, timely, sort of. You know, as of recording, Robin Williams recently passed away. This pick was actually made before that event, but it is 1993's Mrs. Doubtfire.
His marriage is ending.
My marriage is not ending, just on hiatus.
To put his family back together, Daniel Hillard needed a job.
Do you have any special skills?
I do voices.
Yes!
Nancy and I are still looking for the other half of my head.
Look at me right now, Moneypenny. Want to undo that bow and get to know you.
Mr. Hillard, do you consider yourself humorous?
I used to.
And a decent home for his kids.
How do you like it?
Can't you just tell Mom you're sorry?
But he found a way.
I'm placing an ad for a housekeeper.
Housekeeper? Could you make me a woman?
To have both.
Wow.
Let's pray.
Hello? Euphigenia Doubtfire.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Still the same old dad.
Good.
Only better.
Dinner is served, madam.
Wow. I'd love to get reacquainted.
Can't you see the lust in that man's eyes?
Accent's a little kind of muddled there.
Really? Well, so's your tan.
The terrace, they ran that way. It was a run by fruiting.
This holiday season.
Surprise.
Robin Williams.
Hmm.
Sally Field.
Who needs a husband when I've got you?
In a Chris Columbus film.
Back off!
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Gotta talk to him.
A father's work.
Ah! Ah!
Ah! Is never done.
Oh! First, here's a woman. I'm getting hot flashes.
Daniel Hillard is an eccentric actor who specializes in dubbing voices for cartoon characters. Daniel is a kind man and a loving father to his three kids, Lydia, Chris, and Natalie. But Daniel's wife, Miranda, sees him as a poor disciplinarian and a bad role model. After Daniel throws an elaborate and disastrous birthday party for Chris, I wouldn't say it was disastrous, Miranda reaches the end of her limited patience and files for a divorce. Daniel is heartbroken when Miranda is giving custody of the kids, and he's only allowed to visit them once a week. Determined to stay in contact with his kids, Daniel discovers that Miranda is looking for a housekeeper, and with help from his brother Frank, a makeup artist, Daniel gets the job, disguised as Mrs. Doubtfire, a Scottish nanny. Daniel pulls off the ruse so well that neither Miranda nor his children recognize him, and in the process, he learns some parenting tips. Daniel also has to deal with Miranda's new boyfriend, a jerk named Stu Dunmire.
Yeah. Also, he's not Scottish. He's British.
It says Scottish.
I know. That's what it says. That's incorrect.
Yeah, because he says he's from England.
Yeah. And because that's one of the jokes, because Stu...
Oh, yeah, your accent's a little muddled. Oh, well, so's your tan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, this is a film that we watched recently via the Hallmark Channel.
Mm-hmm.
The Hallmark Movie Channel.
Because unfortunately they were playing it, you know.
Yeah, they were celebrating the life of Robin Williams.
Yeah.
And so we watched this. We did have the little one watch it with us while we were watching it. Her first reactions 5 seconds into the film were, does it get better than this?
And I was like,
how dare you?
How dare you?
And the backhand only hurt both of us for a second.
So, Mrs. Zelag, this is your selection. So why don't you tell me about you and this film?
This was definitely a Cruise household staple.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it was one of those annoying don't talk during the movie because we were saying the lines with it.
We've had a few of those staples throughout our time.
Yes. So this is pretty much one of those. And we just, I mean, we're pretty big Robin Williams fans at our house. And so this was a good one that we always used to watch. I guess I don't really know anything else about that.
Okay. Strauss, what about you?
I'm a big fan of his too.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So did you watch this a lot growing up then, or was this something that you just kind of seen here and there? Or?
I wouldn't say it's one that I watched a lot. Like, I don't think we owned it, but I think they rented it a lot for me, and I loved it every time they did.
Now, this is interesting because this is a film that I remember watching a lot with my little sister when I would babysit her while my parents were at work. You know, this is 93, so VHS 94-ish. So I'm 15, and... you know, maybe right in the wheelhouse for Robin Williams' style of comedy.
Yeah.
And so I want to preface this is this is no disrespect to the man himself and the suicide and all of that sort of thing. But I was never like a Robin Williams guy. Like, his sort of humor is not really the sort of humor that I think is funny. So it was a film that I watched a lot and was like, oh, okay, that part's funny. And, you know, it was a Run by Fruiting or whatever, like, that, you know, that would make me laugh. And that's funny.
Hello!
Yes, that would, the way that Annelle said hello at the beginning, yes, that sort of thing.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't get it at the time.
Shut up, I get it now.
And so those sort of things is something that I could appreciate, but overall it wasn't like, oh my God, what's the next Robin Williams movie coming out? I gotta see it. That's not the sort of fan I was.
Aladdin. Was Aladdin 90?
I think it was right before this.
Yeah, because it went, Little Mermaid was 89, and then Beauty and the Beast was 90, and then Aladdin was like 91 or 2.
I think that's right.
Because my little brother would have been right at the age where he could start watching movies and like liking them. So
And not just being like babysat by them?
Well, I used to watch this a lot. I used to watch Aladdin a lot with my brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so I loved it.
Well, in 93, I was 9.
Yeah.
So like this, like, so like when you're 9 years old, Robin Williams is like the funniest person on the planet.
Yeah. I thought so too.
Cause like, oh my God, he's doing funny voices. That's hilarious. So like we could not get enough of that. So. Mm-hmm.
See, I think I was probably just past that to where I was too cool for it.
Right.
Yeah.
15, you're too cool.
Because I would have been as old as your sister.
Yeah. So I would, yeah. All right, let's skip by that part. So
awkward.
I spit on my computer laughing at that, by the way.
Nice. Nice.
So the... wow, I don't even know where to go from it. So I think I was too cool for his style of humor, and I just never really, even with Jim Carrey, like, I'm not a huge Jim Carrey guy either. Like, just the funny faces and like the look how silly I am. It's just not really my cuppa, I guess. So, you know, it'd be the same, like, if Jim Carrey died, I'd be like, oh, you know, that's too bad. Like, I don't wish him any harm, but that's, you know, I don't fall all over myself the way that a lot of, social media people have been like, he's the greatest this and the most influential that. And I'm like, okay, I understand that you're upset about him dying, but like, let's pump the brakes on the greatest this and the most influential that.
But that's just your opinion.
That is, well, yeah, clearly.
Rachel and I are on a whole different side of the ring.
That's true. That's sure. So my first note is he is a shitty dad.
At the beginning. No shit. He is a bad, I mean, like, he's a great, like, college friend. Mm-hmm. I brought you a horse for your birthday party. That's hilarious. But like, yeah, he's not a good dad.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, like, if I'm sitting there and Annelle strolls in and has like, or if I come home from work and I got this fucking pony and all these rabbits and shit in our place, I would lose my mind. Like, that would not go over well at all.
Nope.
You know? So I don't know. It's just like, yeah, Sally Field has.
Well, like, on top of him getting fired, or like quitting, I guess, or getting fired. So like, he doesn't have any income coming in. He's like, I'm gonna go blow a bunch of money on a fucking petting zoo. This is a great idea.
Yeah, like that party probably cost a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. And he's upset because the bird is smoking.
Well.
Whatever. And it's like, okay, well.
Everyone in the 80s was smoking.
I guess so.
Right? And I mean, like, I have morals, but like, if you're gonna pay me, I'm gonna take the money.
90s.
I do think that it's funny that this is a Chris Columbus film.
I know.
You know, a Home Alone director, Chris Columbus.
You can kind of see it, like, get that feel though.
Yeah, it is. It does feel very safe. Like, no matter.
Like, homey.
Yeah, like, no matter what happens, no one's actually going to be injured. Nothing's actually going to happen.
Right. Wholesome movie.
Yeah, wholesome. Very much for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
It's like a family film, and that's fine. I think that, it's interesting looking at the IMDb that, Tim Allen was offered the role of Daniel Hillard.
What?
/ Mrs. Doubtfire.
That would have not been good.
And he was also offered the role of, Stu.
Of Ew. Stu Doubtfire.
So.
Wrong. Who's a casting director? I get in fights with the casting director all
the time. That's right. Call him up. Dude, say hey. It's
way too, you know, like, however many years ago this was, you almost made a mistake.
Yeah, even if he would have been Stu, like, who would have been jealous of that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got a Michigan t-shirt on.
He would not be having his shirt off at the pool, but we'll just put that out there.
Yeah, now how about Pierce Brosnan? He's a fine looking man, right?
I mean, he's not my cup of tea, but yeah, I mean, he's not unattractive.
Hmm. What do you think, Strauss?
Yeah.
Stu.
Oh, he's okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just okay. All right.
Tall, dark, and handsome. You can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Over-tanned.
He is a little over-tanned. I do think that, I do like that little bit where they're at the pool, since we're talking about the pool. And, they give, you know, he kind of has a little bit of humanity, Stu does. He's not like a mustache-twirling bad guy to where it's like,
he's not a jerk.
He's like, I want all of her money, yeah. You know, he's like, oh, no, you know, I used to think this way, but she's got three great kids, and, you know, I kind of like that now, and blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, and he talks about how he likes the kids to his, like, single friend, and
yeah. And then, I mean, he ends up getting limed in the head, but
he's not as big as a jerk as they're trying to make him out to be.
Right. I mean, like, he is kind of trying to weasel his way into her panties pretty quick, but I mean.
Well.
I do.
Sally Fields, she's got that poofy hair. Poofy hair means, you know, she's ready to go in 93.
I did not know that. Is that like a.
That's a thing. Well, I'm much older than you two. That was a thing, so.
Pick that up.
Poofy hair equals ready to go.
Yeah, write that down.
Well, that was everyone back then.
That's what I'm saying.
They're all ready to go. And smoking, I guess.
Yeah. The whole thing.
Before and after and during.
Yeah, so here's another one of the things. This is, apparently I'm like bringing it all to seriousness, but, at the beginning, you know, they're talking about the shitty party that he threw for the 12-year-old. Who the kids, they say he's 12, he seems like he's like 17 to me or something, but anyway.
He's little.
I guess. But anyway, so they just are like unloading on each other, just screaming at each other, presumably in front of the kids.
I think they were like upstairs or something.
Right? Well, still, they could probably still hear him, and I'm like, God, what are you doing?
Well, she was like, obviously, she says 14 years, so like, they've been having this fight for that long, and it's probably gotten to the point where she gives no shits. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying fight in front of your kids, because whatever. I'm not going to get into that, but she probably did not give a shit at that point. She's cleaning up horse poop and plates and yelling at him and, like, doesn't care if the Pope hears her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that was
Yeah, it was hard to watch. Yeah, especially, I'm glad they didn't do like a spoon feed where they like had a shot of the kids. Like,
oh,
that would have been tough.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm surprised that they didn't do that to where they have a shot of like the littlest one and she's crying because
she's hugging Stuart Little to her body.
But that's very real though. Like you were saying, 14 years, she's fed up. That's a very real scene of what does happen.
Right.
And happen.
Yeah.
And in fights, yelling fights over way less than a huge party. It's like.
You and Brad don't fight.
Okay. You're right. Let's pretend.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
In front of the kids, Eric.
Yeah.
You big kid.
That's right. In front of the kids, meaning me. So my next note was, I'm glad she got the kids. Like, she should get the kids. Like, he has no income. He has no, you know, at this point, he has, like, you know, nowhere really to live. He gets that apartment fairly quickly on no income. You know, he's kind of a deadbeat. So I'm like, well, yeah, she should get the kids. She has this well-paying job doing whatever it is, really, that she's doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Looking at
interior design, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought I was just looking at pictures of buildings.
Man, I'd be good at that job.
No shit. Nice.
Yeah, that's a building all right there. Here's your check.
Probably a tall building too, if you want my input.
Best color would be purple. Yeah. Give me a check.
That'd be good. So we have the final, you know, the main thing that the movie's about and known for is, we get the transformation into the nanny, into Mrs. Doubtfire. And, you know, they make a point to say, well, you're a really big woman. I'm like, well, not really. Robin Williams is a really small, hairy man. Like, it's not.
She has some broad shoulders.
Yeah. It's like, it's not that she's big. She's just like, dang, your arm looked like a monkey. That would have been like a more appropriate response to, for me.
Yeah.
Hands look manly.
Yeah. Why do you have such wide hands, guy?
Hairy hands.
Guy.
Yeah. That's what I probably would have said. But, so yeah, I think that was something that I thought was interesting while I find my place again.
The transformation part was fun.
It's so like fun. Yeah.
Like, I love them like trying on wigs and being
a gay brother.
Yeah, it's a gay brother.
Brother and
Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aunt Jackie. Aunt Jack though?
Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved that part. I just finally caught that. Being older, like, I never caught that before.
You love the voice, right, Strauss?
Oh, his voice? Like,
the brother's voice, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, I heard it. What did I say? I don't remember when I saw it again, but I was just like, oh, his voice.
Like, yeah.
Like Shelley Winters older, Shelley McLean older.
Yeah, exactly. That was so good.
Scotch tape and red hair dye.
Yes.
So good.
That, it's very distinctive, that's for sure. You know, Anna said his voice is weird.
Yeah.
That's all she said about it. So she didn't make much of that. So what I like is we have Mrs. Doubtfire and she's laying down the law and she's like, no, we're not watching Dick Van fucking Dyke, right?
We always watch Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. And that girl is a capital B bitch.
She's like 17 years old or 16 or something. Like, that's just how girls are.
Oh yeah. Hormones.
Well, like, I can't wait for that.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
She's going to suck. Just kidding. I love her.
And so, you know, we have this kind of like, those two are butting heads and trying to be like the alpha female. And then after, you know, that same day, she goes and meets her outside and is like, you know what? I am sorry, Mrs. Doubtfire. I was being a real pain or whatever it is that she says. But she has this realization that she was being a bad kid. And it's like, well, if she had the stones to say, like, you know, to stand up to this babysitter, she also wouldn't have that realization so quickly, I didn't think. See what I mean?
I don't know how. I don't remember how 16-year-old girls act and how to rationalize it.
Well, anyway.
Well, I feel like if we're digging deep on it, maybe she was missing her dad and just wanted to be like, I'm sorry.
And like, well, or like anybody that came in that wasn't her dad, their dad, like trying to tell him what to do and be like, fuck you.
Yeah. Like, don't tell me what to do.
Hmm. I guess I can see that.
Otherwise, we would have had to have a montage of them like, getting to like her, and that would have taken at least 5 minutes and a song.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the cake scene and the social worker or whatever she is that goes and sees her. Sees him, her.
Best scene ever.
The pie in the face, because everyone has just pies hanging.
Yeah.
Right.
Cakes, I guess.
Because he's a single dad, and he just has a, you know, bachelor pad with a pie.
Yeah, that's the first time, actually, that crossed my mind was watching it this time. Because the rest of the times, I was like, oh, here comes the cake. But now I was like, why does he have that cake?
Yeah. It's like a perfect, and it's like a three-tier cake. It's not just a two-tier that you usually make.
It's not a sheet cake.
Must be like practicing making meringue frosting cakes, or I don't know.
But they said that you know, in the trivia, and there's a lot of trivia about this one, where the stuff like the frosting falling from his face and landing into the cups, that was not scripted.
Oh sure.
That those are things that just because of the lamps from the lighting and those sort of things would make it melt off of his face.
Yeah.
So they just went with it.
Yeah, so they just went with it. And then a lot of Robin Williams' performance in this is improvised, so.
Which I'd hope so.
Yeah, so what Chris Columbus would do is he'd have at least 2 to 3 cameras on him at all times, so they could shoot different things and him.
Oh, fuck.
And get all of the different coverage that they may need. But I guess that also said in there that it's a real pain in the ass to get all the coverage. So like, or to get all the licenses. So, like, when he mentions different movies, like when he says, Carpe, he doesn't say Carpe Diem, he says Carpe Dentum or something, like, seize the teeth. He says that when his teeth falls off in the glass. And so they have to get clearance for that movie, or, you know, stuff like that, where he mentions another film.
I was really hoping, which I already expected, but I was really hoping that it was just improv, because wouldn't it suck if some writer was telling him his jokes? You know? Like, I'm really glad that he did, and they allowed him to improv that, or else it wouldn't have been the same.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel as funny. Whether I thought it was genuinely funny or not, it would feel worse if it came across as scripted.
Yeah, the parts that were kind of hard was when he was, like, talking to his wife at the end, when he's trying to be all serious. Like, I'm not good with him being serious.
Yeah,
him being funny.
Yeah, I'm not good with him being serious in a funny movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say in this movie, I agree with that. Like you know, obviously, speaking of Carpe Diem, like obviously Dead Poets Society was
that was funny.
Dead Poets Society or Good Will Hunting or even like The Fisher King, you know, when he's supposed to be mostly serious, I think he's fine. When he's when he's trying to be serious in a funny role, he's just got this kind of goofy look on his face.
And it's like my mind can't do that. Cause I'm like, he was just doing the craziest shit ever. And now he's trying to be serious. And like, it's almost like, why are you not funny right now? Like,
yeah,
I guess my mind, just like every time he comes on the screen, he's supposed to be like, da, 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 da.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
Like when he does the piss off thing at the beginning, which is edited out apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the Hallmark version, it was...
Oh, in the Hallmark version.
Yeah, the piss off.
Piss off!
Piss off Phil, right? I think is what he says at the beginning of there. But what do we think about the getting caught in the bathroom scene?
Oh, my gosh.
Anna has some things to say about
Anna
that.
Thought that was some hilarious shit.
That brought out some questions that I'd like, never heard before.
Yeah, that's when she's like... she's asking if he, like... Oh, I don't even know if
I don't even know if we want to go there. Let's just say it made her a little bit more of, like, questioning on how guys go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because it was, she hadn't seen that in a movie or obviously not in person, so she just had no idea how guys go to the bathroom.
Yeah, she was asking if you, like, squeeze it to make your pee.
Oh, like milking a cow.
Yeah,
yes,
kind of.
Exactly.
Doesn't that hurt them? Well, it would bruise the hell out of me.
So that's what she was curious about that. I was curious about why he didn't lock the door.
Oh yeah.
But it's his own home, really, so
he probably just forgot. Maybe he had some scotch.
Not yet.
Eric was like, should we get scotch for the show tonight?
Nope, scotch makes me cry.
No, that's bourbon, isn't it?
Oh, that is bourbon, you're right.
That was a good one. We should try that sometime.
Fuck no.
It was, I was like, should we get some Shavas? And she was like, fuck yeah. And I was like, no, gross.
No,
she's
I was
like, yeah,
kidding.
I'm kidding. It's gross.
We forgot to talk about the hilarious part before the transformation where he is prank calling her with candles for employment.
That's right.
As far as the cruise part of this movie, we to this day do that to each other.
Nice.
We'll call each other and say, like, I don't work with the males because I used to be one.
I like that. That's good.
That is funny.
That is good. Okay, so one of the other things that I had a note about is we get to the sequence and, you know, he introduces himself sort of auspiciously to the owner of the network. And he's making fun of the old guy that is on the screen and doing the dinosaur stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What kind of idiot keeps this guy on the air?
Yeah, me. And so he is later, like, playing with the dinosaurs, and the guy watches him, and he's like, oh, he's so funny, you know, I'm going to give him a job kind of thing.
Hilarious.
But the thing that he's, like, being funny about are all these adult impersonations and all these adult references.
Yeah, I thought that, again, when I was watching this, I'm like, little kids are going to have no idea who James Brown is.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Elvis.
They won't know who Elvis or James Brown is, really. Like, or even if they do, they would know by the music, not by, like, their personalities.
Right, yeah, I thought of that, too. That's just weird, the things that you think of when you've watched a movie for the 1,000th time.
Yeah. So it seems like when, if you're watching it as a kid, you're just like, oh, okay, he's just doing some weird thing with his mouth, and he's just talking different, whatever.
Yeah, his voices are just funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, yeah, maybe you just don't give a shit. You're just like, oh, he's making more funny voices. All right.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Little kids don't care.
Yeah, that's true. So after that, we get, you know, we get the pool and all that that we had already mentioned. And we finally come to the dinner sequence.
The birthday dinner.
The big climax of the film.
That's my favorite. Oh, of the film. Sorry.
The film.
Before it started, I told Eric, I was like, this part makes me nervous.
Oh, God.
I used to watch I Love Lucy and, like, love hate it. Because, like, I would be nervous while I was watching it because I'd be so nervous for Lucy. But then I would love it in the end. So I knew, like, he was going to get in trouble and, oh, my gosh. And so I had that feeling when I was little, getting nervous.
Do you want to be soulmates? Because that's exactly.
Oh, God, really?
I used to have to leave the room when I was watching I Love Lucy sometimes.
Yes. Just like, so nervous.
I just can't handle it.
Yeah. But then I'd have to watch it. It was like I was addicted to that nervous feeling, but I hated the whole time.
Yeah. And like with this, I'm like, oh, I can fast forward this right now. Cause like I hate him going back and forth to the tables. It makes me like want to cringe.
Yeah. It's like awkward, but you can't stop watching.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too.
So I think.
Can you give us a second?
Yeah.
Can you leave the room?
So, what I think about this dinner sequence,
anyway.
It doesn't make me nervous.
Okay.
I think it's a lot of fun, though. Like, I really like how, you know, I like how he's, you know, trying to figure it out, and they have, like, the fast-forward changing and all that sort of stuff, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, whatever, I'm just kind of going with it. Even though, you know, until, I guess, in Elle's family, I wouldn't think of someone being gone for, like, 20 minutes in the bathroom, but... That's kind of how her brother rolls. So you're like, what is he doing?
What?
I don't know.
Just hanging out?
So I guess. Just things are working, you know. It's a process.
It's always when we're eating.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You gotta go to the bathroom. Be back in
20
half
minutes
an hour.
Later.
My food will be cold, but whatever. So, yeah. So, you know, I can sort of identify with that a little bit more now, I guess. But I think him meeting with the guy in charge of the company is what makes me nervous more than the family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, well, the hell with them. Like, they'll get it. Like, oh, whatever. She's an old lady. She's sticking a pill in her butt. Like, it takes a while. You know? But with him, it's like, what is this guy who's having this meeting doing in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, why is he gone so long?
Well, and then he at least kind of, like, at least makes an excuse when he shows back up as Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well,
he's changing this old lady costume.
And first he came back with lipstick and perfume.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, does she have a friend for me? Like, you dirty old fucker.
And then he actually, like, left to go find the friend, and the guy's like, yeah, I'll get you another scotch.
Yeah.
But by that time, I mean, give the guy some credit. He's probably had, like, 6 scotches by then.
Mm-hmm. Right?
In, like, the span of probably 45 minutes. Come on.
Yeah,
that's, like, doubles. That's forgetting day drinking.
Yeah, that's... Whew. We're gonna, we have to talk after the show about that, by the way.
Oh, no.
So I was like, you know, anybody's going to be in bad shape after that. But I do love how, I think one of my favorite parts is when he first comes back as Mrs. Doubtfire when he's completely tanked.
Right.
But when he first sits at the beginning and he just like, you know, he like drunk sits. Towards,
yeah.
Take over gravity. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and then please he's. Help me. Yeah, he's talking more shit to Stu than normal. And, you know, he's just pulling a lot of shit. And, you know, the pepper thing is troubling because, yes, we don't all make good decisions when we're drunk. Right?
What?
True story.
To me.
In this household, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe you guys. Yeah.
You know, this is not a very well run kitchen, first of all.
Yeah.
If this old woman can just go in there. They're like, dang, this huge hairy old woman just did something to this.
The cayenne pepper.
Yeah. Second of all, Pierce Brosnan needs to chew his food. Because it's like completely whole when he spits it out. It's like, what are you doing to that shrimp, guy? Like, chew it up a little bit.
Well, and like, I hate when I'm in a movie and I can like feel it become a scene instead of part of the movie.
Mm.
And like, to me, that was like him going, all right, this is my choking scene. Cause he like puts in his mouth and waits 2 seconds and then makes the choking noise. And I'm like, oh, just gloss over it. Just go past it, Rachel. Just let it go.
That is uncomfortable for me to watch someone pretend to choke. Because I don't, like, I imagine that that's a really uncomfortable day for them at work.
Right?
It's like, yeah, here's where I gotta go and, like, choke all day. That's not a good
thing. No, it's like, it's either, like, they're an actor or they're on the Cubs.
Oh my god. Wow, that was a low blow out of nowhere.
Oh, I gotta tell Brad I came up with that one.
I like that. But yeah, so I think that's fun. I think that I like that the mask is kind of like half off.
Yeah.
And the kids are all disappointed in him and Sally Field's freaking out and all that.
I think her freak out was pretty good.
Well, yeah. I mean, she kind of doesn't get very much credit for the movie. I think she's pretty good in what she has to do because she kind of has to be like this career woman who, yeah, I love my kids, but I don't have time for that shit. Like, I'm trying to make the monies here.
Yeah, and there's not really a lot of breath, for opportunity for her to do a lot of acting in this role. So she did what she could as Sally Field.
That's right. She was in her Sally Fieldness.
Yes.
Yeah. Skinny as can be.
Oh, yeah, just no Holy shape cow. To her whatsoever.
It's like a 12-year-old boy.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Look it up.
Oh, that was so funny.
So then we get the end, and the end is what I have the most problems with.
Oh, no.
Weird, oh, right?
Man. Nobody died. Fuck this movie.
Hey. Okay, so he's crazy, right? Because he's cross-dressing. So whether that's an acceptable part of someone's life or not, that's probably not suitable for his 3 children.
Right.
And the court says, yeah, you're crazy. You're not getting to hang out with them. Sorry.
They did counseling to him.
Like, yeah.
Psychological counseling for posing as a nanny.
Right.
Which I was like thinking about it, like, if this wasn't a hilarious Robin Williams movie and this happened in real life, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, cause what if the film is not a comedy?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
What if it's like a Norman Bates situation then where he's dressing like his mom?
Dark.
It'd be real dark.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know what? I want to do Psycho, but as a comedy. We're going to call it Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, it's going to be on right after the producers.
That's right, yeah. So I don't know. So I think that he is genuinely fairly not right in the head. And whether that's because, oh, he was taken away from his kids and blah, blah, blah. And this was like a wake up call, you know, whatever. He still seems to be a little crazy. So I think that the judge did a good job, or at least was trying to. But then Sally Field's like, oh, well, you know what? Basically, I can't hack it. So I need help. And the kids clearly like their dad more than just some rando babysitter. So I'm going to have him come in and take care of them again.
Well, I think she thought of it like he was trying to be around him, and she, who knows how long it was till they went to court and she finally felt that way.
Yeah, that's true. Could have been months. I didn't get the little scroll where it said like 3 months later.
3 months later.
Yeah. So I don't know, I guess. And what did you think, Strauss, about the end there? What it was that you said about why she was letting the kids go back?
I thought that she wanted him back. She was like, do you want to come in?
She was thinking that was like a little step to maybe
them getting back together.
A reconciliation. And I thought that maybe Stu was just in the other room and was ready to knock it out real quick.
Oh my God.
The kids are gone.
He's like, actually, could you get back into the Mrs. Doubtfire gear?
He was sitting there in like his full James Bond get up and was like, you know, got the martini and everything. And he's like, well, let's go, Sally Field. The kids are gone.
I would take Daniel Craig and be okay.
Wow.
Well, I liked the way it ended, because when I was like 9, I didn't have a lot of experience with people being divorced.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And so like when I was little, I'm like, why aren't they back together? And like, cause mommy's and daddy's all, you know, but like, you know, it kind of, you know, Chris Columbus kind of did what he needed to do, I guess, and was like, it's okay, you know, to show people not being together and still being a family. And like, honestly, this was like one of the first movies besides Kramer versus Kramer, which does not count, that I saw like people being divorced and being okay with it. And so I was like, no shit. So like, I as a little kid didn't really enjoy the end of it, because I obviously, when you're a kid, you watch Disney movies and you think everyone's supposed to end up together, but
right,
it actually did what it needed to do for me and have me like learn that people get divorced and it's not the end of the world. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and do you mean that by the final speech that he gives as Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yeah, like in the fact that they're, you know, like he gets to see his kids, but they're not reconciling because obviously they're two different people and they're not supposed to be together. And you know, like when you're 9, you're like, that's like a really deep pool to dive into, but mm-hmm. you just like figure it out, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, I don't know. I think that the courtroom scene and her just saying, oh, okay, well, whatever, it's fine. That was the only part that I had a problem with. I actually did like his little speech after he got the letter and, you know, talking about aunts and uncles and grandparents and whatever. And I thought that that was actually really well done. It didn't pull on the heartstrings like a Kramer, but it was a sequence that I enjoyed. And I thought that part of the ending was successful in what it was trying to do.
Right.
So,
yeah, I liked that.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we have anything else about Mrs. Doubtfire or Commando? Oh, we should say about Commando.
Yeah. Are you remembering the part that Anna
saw? The inappropriate part that Anna saw. So she was in watching her own movie in our room.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the door was like closed. Ish.
It was just cracked.
Yeah,
like,
we weren't trying to
shut her off. We were just kind of both watching our own movies.
It was locked.
We locked her in from the outside.
Yeah.
Putting cup under there.
And so we were watching Commando, and it's the sequence where there's the naked guy and the naked girl.
Oh, the boobies!
And they're fighting through the wall.
They're fighting through the wall, and she is standing in the doorway watching that sequence.
No.
And she's like, what are they doing?
So,
well, you know what's funny is I asked the same question, because when he busted that guy through the wall, the girl and the guy were naked, but the girl was behind the guy.
Yeah.
Well, and it happened so quickly that I'm sure she wasn't like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But then she was like, she did ask me, she was like, I saw that part, and I go, well, what part? Like, when, you know, I was thinking when somebody's head got chopped off, or what part are you referring to? Because I'm sure there was lots of parts that you shouldn't have seen. And she was like, when they were in the bed, and what were they doing? And I was like, oh, they were just sleeping. It's fine. She's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, just was like, whatever.
Accept and walk away, huh? Nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man.
Shouldn't push you for more details.
Nope.
And all I have to say about the guy being behind the girl is, the girl being behind the guy, right?
Yeah.
Is you need to let your imagination figure that out, Cruz.
I mean, if it was Tom Hardy and he was suggesting things to me, I understand, but that guy was not Tom Hardy. I think he had a mullet.
That's true. I feel like there's this place on O Street called Priscilla's that you could check out, and they have things that could aid you in your quest.
You think I don't have whips, chains, whistles, yo-yos, and a circus midget?
I don't know.
I
have to say at least half.
Yeah. Brad's credit, he was looking away and when the crash scene came through, and I, like, when I see boobies in the movie, I go, oh, boobies, just like as a reflex. And he rewound it so he could see them. So, because he wanted to make sure if there were boobies in there that he got to see.
I don't even remember seeing the boobs.
Oh, well, I saw them for sure.
Oh, yeah. Of course you did.
There wasn't any male nudity, or else I probably would have rated the film higher. Because that's apparently what we have a lot of in the films that I pick.
I know. Like the French guy that's like, no clothes.
Yeah, the swinging meat guy.
Swinging meat. Mm. Yeah. If I had a studio, that's what it would be called. Swinging Meat Productions.
That'd be good.
That'd be so good.
That'd be good anything like...
a restaurant.
Swinging meat.
Like the Bob's.
Like a butcher shop. Thank you for calling Swinging Meat. This is Rachel.
How can I help you?
That'd be good. All right. Well, I think that's probably good. Cruz, why don't you wrap us up?
All righty. If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlimblepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlimblepod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZlike.com, because I'm so fucking amazing at Twitter. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. We also want to thank Anel for coming on and saying wonderful things. If people want to hear more from you, they could listen to you and Eric talk about the film Vanilla Sky, or look for you later in the fall when all three of us discuss the BBC series Sherlock, which I have already just powered through.
Oh.
Dang.
I know, guys. If you enjoy the show and want to help us out a little bit, go to our website, plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com. You'll find an Amazon link which takes you to their homepage through us, and bookmark it and then buy just everything you can think of. They have like amazing stuff on there. They have this like floaty pool with cup holders in it. So I mean, just get that and
just
then
buy all the things.
Buy all the things. Like anything you can think of is on there. So and whatever you buy there, we get a little bit of that so we can keep watching movies and saying ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
So thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more of our childhood favorites.